Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletail from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Houston is Natalia Shahada. Natalia is the Senior Vice President and Chief Compliance Officer at TechNeep FMC. And we're going to be talking today about handling not just the coronavirus, but also from the special perspective of the oil and gas industry. As we all know, oil prices have taken a hit lately, sort of creating a double crisis that compliance team has to work its way through. So first of all, Natalia, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Adam, a real pleasure. Great speaking with you today.
I'm really glad you could do this because we're, you know, as I said, it's a really interesting situation. You know, the pandemic has created a crisis like none that any of us are used to. In many ways for your industry, it's a double whammy. Not only do you have an essential industry that has to stay up and running while keeping your people safe, you also are enduring a huge drop in demand that's set the price of a barrel of oil to negative territory. With all the disruption that's causing, how do you ensure that the business team doesn't take its eye off of the compliance requirements?
That's a great question. And I would say a simple word, partnership. And by that, I mean, I'm very proud to say that we have excellent support from our senior management team to really focus on keeping compliance and integrity at the front of our minds. In fact, you know, we know the oil crisis started around March 8th, and midweek that week, we stood up a call to senior management, and our chairman and CEO in that very first outreach call, completely unscripted, you know, in his own words from the heart, cautioned that the new commodity crisis would indeed constrain our clients and suppliers. And he called upon each and every one of us that we needed to focus and continue to operate with an integrity and a safety first mindset. Always. But especially now that we would feel pressured in this environment, that clients and suppliers, while meaning the best, you know, there's likely to be some growing concerns over nature of requests and things as we all try to navigate survival during this period. And he set the tone right from that moment in reminding us that we are a values-based organization and what our expectations are.
Wow, that must have been a tingles up and down the spine moment. I mean, hearing all that without soliciting it, knowing he's setting the right tone for the team. But the hard part, obviously, is that's got to cascade throughout the organization. You need to make people focus on this. What do you find is the best way to capture the attention of the entire workforce?
We're trying our best to keep the messages fresh, thoughtful, and frankly, we don't see any harm in having a little fun along the way. We're using a multimedia approach these days. Yes, we're championing the exact words, that unscripted, fabulous moment by our chairman and CEO, but to leverage podcasts. So we do a monthly podcast. We Yammer almost daily. Yammer is sort of the internal Twitter tool that we use. And we're leveraging the voices of all of our teammates through their own empowerment. We've got 9 languages represented in our own compliance family, which really includes the primary languages, certainly not all the languages spoken in the organization, but empowering each one of them through their feeling and emotion of both the COVID-19 crisis and the commodities crisis in oil and gas to speak about what they think their business partners need to hear at that moment. So we're trying to stay very close. We call it sticky with the business. To stay very close and sticky with the business. And so we're talking about warnings the way our chairman and CEO did, but we're also just trying to keep the message fresh. We had great messages posted by our managers from some higher risk countries, Poland and Azerbaijan and India recently, our head of sales talking about the fact that COVID-19 will be over at some point. And even though we're in a much different economic climate, there will be client activities that require that we remind ourselves about, you know, in particular, some of our anti-bribery and corruption controls. And so that's really the playbook that we're, you know, taking from right now. We're sprinkling in, you know, some thoughtful, impactful, what you might call more serious messaging style with no harm in doing a compliance crossword of the week. We have leveraged children of our teammates in creating integrity videos. Does integrity mean to them in this time? And so we've done lots of hand washing videos, and integrity means doing the right thing to a 6-year-old, and really just trying to emphasize that we're together in this, that integrity is about safety, and to keep ourselves safe, we have to keep it fresh and top of mind.
That's great. And I love the fact that, you know, that we're in an era where people are seeing each other's children as, you know, we work from home and they wander in and out of scene along with dogs and everything else in our house. And the fact that instead of making that as something that's sort of a distraction, it really, I think, is a great way to leverage the blending of personal and business in a way that's really relevant for people. Now, you touched already on some specific ongoing risk areas like anti-corruption. One that's important that is not discussed as often is human rights compliance. How are you approaching this very, really morally troubling risk area?
Thank you for raising it. It is a topic of concern to our sector. It's a point of just a reminder that Technip FMC straddles not just the oil and gas sector, but we do very large construction contracts or engineering procurement construction contracts in oil and gas. And so we joined last year an organization called Building Responsibly, and it was created a few years ago by like-minded compliance first construction and oil and gas partners to pioneer a set, first and foremost, a conversation about what human rights compliance and worker welfare should look like in our sector. And what has been pioneered over the course of the last couple of years, launched last year, were a set of guiding principles in support of which we've now created some actual guidance notes to encourage the companies in our sector of how to adapt, first recognize the risk area of worker welfare, and then adapt existing policies and procedures and round out control environments to make sure that we are defending and supporting our workers and our communities where we're operating in the best possible way. From there, the group is, we're now working on training materials. So in short, it's an integrity issue that is very close to our hearts, one that we're taking seriously. And from our humble position, it's not just industrial collaboration that's required, but also internally, we're partnering, of course, with our supply chain colleagues and our human rights colleagues, I'm sorry, human resources colleagues and other stakeholders internally.
It's a tough issue and one that a lot of companies have been blindsided by in the past, and is one of those issues that I fear is going to be one that blows up as more companies realize that there really is human trafficking and modern slavery in their supply chain. Now, another issue, the one that, Technip, which operates globally and a lot in the oil and gas industry, faces a high-risk area is FCPA, the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, and all the related anti-bribery laws. How do you ensure that vigilance is maintained on this and other risk areas during these unusual times?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. As your listeners know, Technip FMC settled a 5 authorities enforcement action in June of last year of 2019. And so we live by the mantra of never again. Let us, nor our communities we serve, ever suffer the pains of those past actions. And so we aim to keep the facts of our enforcement case present in the minds of our company. And to do that, for example, when we settled the case, we empowered hundreds of people in the organization to speak about the case publicly. We aimed to make sure that all 37,000 women and men in our organization understood what happened, how it happened, and how to make sure it does not happen again. Today, we believe it's just critical to stay close to the team, keep remembering those events, the often said phrase, we must remember the sins of the past to make sure that we don't, repeat them in the future. So it helps us stay engaged. It helps us give a conversation starter to people, especially in the COVID-19 period, to inquire, are people aware of the never again message? How are they feeling today? What's on their mind? What are the concerns? And I think making the case and its facts so open in the organization has really unfrozen difficult conversations around what noncompliance looks like. And if we're doing our job right, what we humbly hope is that it fosters a confidence in people to talk about real life challenges as they continue to manifest in the organization on an ongoing basis more easily than if it was a case or an event or a specter around which you just had water cooler whispers and not open, frank, and honest conversation about what happened.
Well, the more people feel as if they can talk about that issue or any issue, the better off you're going to be. Now, finally, what advice do you have for helping the compliance team itself stay together and work as a team despite the disruptions and the separations?
connection for us, we've determined, is key. We use, no plug, we just happen to use Microsoft Teams, and we post daily photos. We chat daily. We're a team of just a little over 30 individuals worldwide. And we do that because not all of our teammates, for example, have access to Mother Nature right now. Some in Europe in particular, in Brazil, are under some very stringent still stay-at-home orders. And so we share that, you know, Mother Nature is still doing her thing here in Houston. You know, it's spring and very quickly moving into summer. We share recipes, we share movie lists. In all, we're just aiming to be vulnerable together, to be present, to talk about what we're fearful of, the sadness of this, and hopefully through all of that, find strength. And I'm encouraged and motivated and inspired every day by the messages of our beloved team. And several of us have said in the last couple of weeks that in spite of our prior pre-COVID-19 efforts to stay connected, we feel more connected and more as a unit than ever before. And I think that's the tragedy and the opportunity of going through a crisis like this together. So we're trying to lean in, we're trying to be vulnerable, and just support each other as best we can.
Well, I like the fact that while you're trying to be sticky with the business, it's also encouraging you to be sticky with each other.
Exactly.
Which is a really great thing, and hopefully have some long-term benefits as well. Well, Natalia, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turtletaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.